It's Thursday, and we're in new digs, and you're watching The Gab and Jewel Show with myself and Julian Lawrence, of course. All right, we have a really packed show, like, once again. I say this every week. I feel like I say this every week.
Every time.
We're going to talk about Barcelona and what's going on there. Luis Suarez moving to Atletico Madrid. We'll have Sid Lowe joining us for that. Then we'll talk a little bit of City. We've kind of neglected City this season, I feel. And then, of course, we'll have quick hits. Plenty going on there. You ready for this?
Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's go right to Sid Lowe. Sid, you need no introduction. So, Luis Suarez moving to Atletico Madrid. Does this move the needle in terms of making them title contenders? What does it mean? And are we? We're not really going to get to see the ultimate nasty boys front two of Diego Costa and Luis Suarez, are we?
To be honest with you, I don't think we are going to see it very often, if we see it at all. But the very fact that there's a chance of that is because Atletico have been trying to move Costa on throughout the summer, haven't been able to do so, have ended up moving on Alvaro Morata, of course, to Juventus. And maybe to put this into, kind of to define this, or what does this mean for Atletico? I don't think there is, well, there's going to be some. There's not many Atletico fans out there who think that the basic process here, which is swap Morata for Suarez, is a bad deal. I think everybody thinks that this raises their level. Now, obviously, let's see if that's actually the case. I think with someone like Suarez, who scores the amount of goals he scores, who in theory at least has the personality and the style that suits Diego Simeone, I think this is a qualitative jump for Atletico Madrid. That said, there are quite a lot of doubts about that, and you know, you can pick through them, and we could be here all day looking at the nuances. There's question marks about his age, question marks about his fitness, particularly his knee, about whether he can play that long game that Atletico Madrid want to play.
They can't play the long game.
He can't run. He can't.
Like, they're gonna have to change. I mean, we saw a little bit of it. I think last year he tried a little bit, but they're gonna have to play more of a position game, right? With Luis Suarez in there.
It depends. Well, if they do play a long game, they've got to play a different type of long game. So you can't play the long game that releases Suarez behind the defence. What you can play is the long game to Suarez with people playing off him. And so the players around him are the ones that make those breaking runs. So, for example, someone like Llorente, who played last year up front, I don't know if long term that's something Simeone really wants to do, but it worked very well. Whether João Félix plays alongside him, or whether you have two people on the wings that come in and run beyond him, because Suarez can play that role very well. I also think that Atletico Madrid have shifted a little bit anyway. They are a team that plays a little bit higher up the pitch, that don't necessarily go beyond the defences in the way that they once did. And so I think they're already there. Now, look, we look at Suarez, and on the face of it, we look at Suarez and Simeone, we think, well, these are kindred spirits, aren't they? These are guys who look at the game the same way. And if you look as well, there's three or four comments from Simeone over the years about how much he loves Luis Suarez. But the key part of that phrase was over the years. Now, whether this is that same Luis Suarez, of course, it's another issue. Yeah. I also think that while Suarez appears to fit Atletico Madrid, there's also a question mark about to what extent do Atletico Madrid adapt to him, and I think they'd be foolish not to.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Let's talk about Barcelona a little bit, because Suarez leaving, Semedo leaving, which I know Jules wants to ask about in a second. obviously, all of a sudden, there's a tiny bit of money there. They're pursuing Sergiño Dest for right back. It's a head-to-head with Bayern. Could be resolved in the next hours. What else do you think they will do? What other positions do you think? You don't need to give me names. That's silly, unless you want to. Between now and the close of the transfer window.
Well, I can give you names because in a way, they've been quite clear about the targets for those positions. So one is a centre-back, and that's, of course, Garcia from Manchester City, and the other is a forward, and they've talked a lot about Depay. That's what they're trying to do. Whether or not they're going to succeed is another thing. As you've said, this is a little bit of money in. It's a significant amount off the salary, but they still don't have a lot of money to play with, Barcelona. They still don't have the financial muscle to do this. I mean, think how long we've been talking about Lautaro Martinez, and then that was just quietly dropped. A quiet acceptance at the very end of something that we all knew all the way through, which is you just cannot pay for Lautaro Martinez.
I mean, just going back to Semedo, and Gab referred to it, you know how much I don't rate him at all, but that's another problem. Mm. But for me, this deal to Wolves is just incredible. The amount, of course, is incredible. Is it like 37 million euros plus five more in add-ons, which just doesn't make sense to me. Is this Jorge Mendes being magic again, or is there more to it, like some sort of favor, you do me a favor, or you did me a favor with Trincao, I do you a favor with Semedo, or it's another favor for later? Like, how do you see that one?
Is he paying it back or paying it forward,
basically?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's rational and legitimate to pose the question in terms of, you know, what's behind this and how and why this deal has happened, because there's no doubt that Barcelona needed this money. Right? And actually, I think, you know, long term, they would have probably rather had Semedo, but this kind of offer is significant. There's a little bit of me that also thinks that the financial muscle of English clubs means that maybe it's not so wildly off the scale. It's not a million miles away from what Spurs paid for Reguilón, for example. It's not that far off. But Barcelona needed this, no doubt about it. Bear in mind that Semedo, by the way, was on that list that Bartomeu gave at the start of the summer of untouchable players. And then, of course, when someone comes with the money, they're so desperate for that money. Like, oh, he's not untouchable anymore. You can put your hands all over him. It's fine.
Yeah, I think that speaks volumes about Bartomeu and I think what that means. Sid, final question, one word answer. If it's not Depay, is it going to be somebody else?
You asked me for a one-word answer. That makes it very difficult.
You don't have to give me a name.
There's too many conditioning elements to this. No, if it's not Depay, there is no one else. But ooh. I'm not completely convinced it'll be Depay. And I think it's no one else because I just don't know what else is on the market. I don't think there's anything there for them.
I agree.
They don't need another forward.
That's an interesting twist that you put there, that they don't need another forward. I'm not sure to what degree the Catalan media, we keep linking them to different people, are convinced of that. I'm not sure to what degree Lionel Messi should be convinced of that. But hey, because the way I see it is, if you don't bring in a striker or a body, you're either going with Griezmann up front or your boy Braithwaite. I mean, is that really a good idea?
No, look, I think, first of all, the starting point for me is what kind of player do you want? And in someone like Depay, are you actually talking about a number nine? Or are you talking about a broader attacking player? At the moment, Koeman is looking at the possibility of Messi as a false nine. He's been working on what looks like a structure, which is obviously a 4-2-3-1, which is a shift already from what Barcelona used to do, in which the nine or the 10 is Messi or Griezmann. Sometimes Messi ahead of Griezmann, sometimes Griezmann ahead of Messi. And of course, they both tend to gravitate to the same part of the pitch anyway, because Messi as a striker will drop in, Griezmann as a striker will drop in, Griezmann as number 10 will push up. So you have that. Then, as you say, I mean, the actual strikers, I suppose you'd say Braithwaite is the only one, but it depends how you're going to structure that forward line, and it looks very much like they aren't going to play it with a traditional striker. Because not least, if you're going to play with a traditional striker, that striker is Luis Suarez. Admittedly, he's the striker without the pace to run beyond people.
Sorry, unless it's late in the game, in which case that striker is Gerard Piqué, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lovely line from Piqué, which, you know what, this is terrible because I'm now saying this, and I'm not sure if he ever said this publicly or privately, and so if he said it privately, never mind, it's long enough ago that it doesn't matter. That he was asked once, you know, it was at a time when Barcelona was, when everyone was talking about the plan B, and it was, you know, Barcelona, when they're struggling to find a way through. So what's the solution to struggling to find a way through? To which Piqué's answer was, put me up front sooner. Because he knew that if there was 10 minutes to go, he was going to go up front as they looked for this goal. He said, well, if you really want a goal, just put me up front sooner. But, you know, put me up front in the 50th minute instead of the 90th. And so, yeah, there's an element about that, whether or not you have a presence there. But if you look at the forwards they've got, and I suppose this is part of the problem, is I'm talking about strikers. There's a slight difference, isn't there, between a striker and a forward. But the way that they're structured in terms of forwards, Messi, Braithwaite, Dembele, Coutinho, who will play either off the as a number 10 or off the left-hand side. I'm sure I'm missing Ansu Fati. There's a lot of forward players there. And so if you do bring in Depay, whose place does he take? What role does he play? And how do you structure that forward line? And to be honest with you, given those kind of conditioning factors, I've been you know, unless that forward is a really, really significant leap in quality, and in theory, Lautaro Martinez would have been that player. Unless it's a really significant leap in quality, I suppose what I'm trying to say is, if your forward is Depay, and I say this holding my hands up with the ignorance of not knowing enough about him, does this actually change anything?
I'm interested in this idea, though. If you play Messi and Griezmann in the middle, you obviously have a range of options on the left, although, again, you're talking about, you know, brought up the Coutinho on the left. That didn't exactly pull up trees last time around.
No, but you could have Ansu Fati on one side and Dembele on the other side, and that's really good.
Yeah.
And then you have a two-man midfield, even though you've got, like, five central midfielders still.
But
Ricky Puig.
But that's happening anyway. Because if you look at, I mean, admittedly, we can't read too much. Well, I suppose we should read too much into it because it's Koeman's attempts to build a team. But if you look at what he's done in these preseason games, it's been a two-man midfield, which I guess will be Frenkie de Jong and Busquets, or Frenkie de Jong and Pjanic. Obviously, we haven't seen Pjanic yet. Then it's a line of three behind the forward. But that line of three is very definitely made up of attacking players. And so the number 10 in that, the one that's nearest to being a midfielder, is Coutinho. And we've seen him play on the left-hand side coming in, or we've seen him in that number 10 position, which, as I was saying before, looks like it's going to be for Messi or Griezmann, but it could be that it's for Coutinho. But there's a bit of me that thinks there's a whole load of players here gravitating towards the same space. So if Messi and Griezmann are your forwards, let's say one is a 10, one is a 9. Well, both of them are going to be 9.5 rather than 10s. Well, actually, Messi probably would be a 10. If Coutinho is coming inside, you're going to have this kind of accumulation of players playing inside. Now, that doesn't mean that can't work. It can work. You can have combinations. You've got your wingers going up wide and all the rest of it. But there is still a slightly awkward fit with all of this. And I suppose, in a way, we're coming back to another thing, which we've seen repeatedly, which is that Griezmann, who is the most expensive player in this team, well, actually, no, he's not, is he?
that would be Coutinho, but yeah.
Yeah, no, Griezmann's not even the most expensive player in the team. But anyway, you know what I mean. Griezmann's the sort of the superstar, and yet, of course, the positions in which he functions well are all Messi's positions.
Yeah, I know. That's the age-old thing, Jules.
Yeah, and Koeman's saying...
But what I mean by this is, buying another forward doesn't resolve that problem for you.
No, it doesn't.
It depends the profile of the striker. If you bring Depay is another Griezmann or another Messi. He's not a number 9.
Well,
he's a 9.5 or a 10.
Yeah.
And he plays as a false number 9. For me, it makes no sense whatsoever to go and spend money on him, apart from the fact that Koeman loves him and he's like a father figure to him and all that rubbish. Otherwise, it doesn't make... Technically, and in terms of balance of the team, where you're already going to be quite unbalanced, as Sid rightly explained, plus, I think, quite exposed defensively, because I can tell you that none of those four forwards, whoever they are going to defend anyway. And if you bring Depay in, it's bringing just a body there with no reflection, no logic in it.
So they should go for perhaps another Lyon striker, go for Moussa Dembele then.
Oh, Dembele would certainly be a better fit. No, but it's not about Dembele going to France to get someone. But exactly that. You need a real number 9 if you're going to get someone.
Or even a little quick guy or, you know, whatever profile you go with. Jules, we were talking about this before. I want to get your view and hear from Sid. The other issue is obviously in central defense. We touched upon it earlier. Sid mentioned this Eric Garcia thing. Looking at it, you really do. You've got Longley, you've got Gerard Piqué, who sadly is a year older. It seems to happen to him every year. They seem to age by a year. You have Umtiti and his dubious knees.
Yeah.
You have Todibo, who they seem not to like anymore, despite doing okay at Schalke. Is bringing in this kid who, you know, has only played a handful of games, who of course was there before, walked down on them to go join City. Now, is this viable? Would City let him go?
City will let him go because he doesn't want to extend his deal, and he's got 1 year left on his contract. So it's if they can find an agreement. And it worked for them with Piqué to bring someone who they, you know, lost from the academy and then brought back. And I don't think...
Hope you wash your mouth out mentioning Garcia and Gerard Piqué in the same breath.
I was going to say Eric Garcia is not Gerard Piqué.
No, Piqué is tall and handsome, and he's married to Shakira. The other guy looks like a little...
But they need someone there anyway. And I think maybe they see, in terms of someone who won't cost them too much, so they can't go and buy Koulibaly for 80 million euros. That's not possible. Or Skriniar for 60 even, or people like that. So they need to think a bit differently. Hence Garcia, someone who knows the club, who loves the club, who's from that, you know, all of that. It ticks a lot of the boxes and it makes sense.
Yeah, but
in terms of the value that they were brought to the squad, I'm not so convinced.
Are you on board with that, Sid?
Well, look, I mean, a little bit like Depay. I don't know enough about Garcia to know whether this is a guy that comes. I mean, obviously, look.
What do you mean? He's from Barcelona. He spent 7 years at the club. You cover Spanish football. No. You don't follow the Barcelona under-14s when he was there.
That's disappointing.
No, but this is what I mean. So strategically, and I know that, by the way, the answer is no, I don't. there's quite a lot of other football going on. Strategically, obviously, it's a completely logical signing. You know, it's bringing someone back who theoretically has learned the Barcelona way, although what the Barcelona way is these days is of course debatable, who understands the club, who was in the last year of his contract, so theoretically is relatively cheap, although I wonder if Barcelona would be tempted to wait another year. The fact that they don't want to wait another year suggests that they see him playing a role right now, and that's the bit I'm doubtful about. And I think there is just a kind of a question mark with this whole market from Barcelona, which is the focus has been on making changes in the forward line, chasing Depay. Obviously, Pjanic and Arthur was about financial management or mismanagement, I suppose, rather than anything else. And there hasn't really been a focus on fixing the defence. The issue isn't Piqué, who I still think is very good. I also actually think that low-key, Clement Longley is very good, low-key. But then in those bigger games, you then start to have doubts about him. But low-key throughout the season, I think he plays well. But we haven't really addressed the two fullback positions, even with Semedo going, although that's obviously looks like it's about to happen a little bit with Dest. And I'm just not sure that Garcia is the immediate solution. I think he's a long-term, perfectly logical signing. But I don't know if he necessarily changes things now.
Just to finish on Garcia, you know, if you're Barcelona and you say, okay, does Longley have any pace? No. Okay. Does Piqué have any pace? No. Okay. Let's sign someone with pace. Yeah. Because clearly that's what we need at the back. Eric Garcia. Yeah. I mean, I think Gab is even quicker than Eric Garcia.
Stop it.
Well, I mean Barcelona in particular, because of course the lack of pace for defenders doesn't actually matter if you play a certain way. If you play very deep and you're not forced into a foot race with anyone, then it matters rather less. But if Barcelona are going to be true to this principle of pressing very high,
which they will,
then they could add, which in theory they will. I mean, let's see if that.
How are you
going to
press high with Messi?
Gab, this is in a way is in the nutshell everything that's been happening over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, people had to go at Valverde, but Valverde was doing not what he necessarily wanted to, but what he felt he could do with the conditioning factors of a culture at Barcelona, of the decline of I'm going to say something that people will kill me for. The decline of Lionel Messi.
What?
Hang on, exactly. The decline of Lionel Messi from absolutely unbelievable to just absolutely unbelievable. But also that physical thing is what I mean. You know, right. The decline in terms of the kind of things you can ask him to do on the pitch. And so Valverde was a man looking at what he considered possibilities. Whether he's right or wrong is another issue. And so there was a slight dropping of the team. So maybe there will be a dropping team. But to bring it back to the main point and to pick up on what Jules is saying, you don't necessarily need a quick forward if you play certain ways. If you play the Barcelona way, in theory you do. And every single time I watch Real Madrid get turned and someone run beyond them, and again, this is going to sound silly because he cocked it up very badly against Manchester City, and I see Rafa Varane recover and rescue them time and time again, and I think, God, how Barcelona could do with a defender like Varane. Right. Every time there's a race, he wins it.
I'm gonna go out on a limb to wrap this up, and because I'm intrigued, and this is purely speculative. This probably won't happen. I don't have any information on it. But how about this, Jules? How excited would you be if that striker, right, ends up being right? How's this? Trincao to Wolves. For Raul Jimenez. Just keep everything in-house. Remember the whole pay it back, pay it forward, George Mendes Wolves?
Yeah.
How cool would that be? You could send Trincao plus 30 million for Raul Jimenez, maybe a little bit less. No? How about that?
Are you suggesting, Gab, that when he was a small boy, George Mendes loved to play pass the parcel? He absolutely loved it.
He certainly does now as an adult.
And somehow the music always stopped on him, and every time he unwrapped it, oh, look.
I'll tell you what. He's had a rotten summer by his high standards, and this would be a way to end it on a bang.
Sid, I was going to say, it hasn't finished yet. Yeah, it has not finished yet.
No, it hasn't been. Sid, thanks so much.
A pleasure.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. I feel a little bit remiss because we have neglected to talk much about Manchester City so far. Now, it's not something against City.
No,
it's
simply the fact there's loads of things to talk about.
They've only played one game. That game happened to be on Monday night. Yeah. We record our show on Monday. They haven't made any big signings, you know, in the last couple of weeks. So let's turn our eye to City because we got our first look at them against Wolves on Monday night. Now, it's weird circumstances because they've got people in self-isolation. They've got people who are injured. I did not think we would ever see a Nathan Aki, John Stones partnership by choice. And obviously, it wasn't by choice. But do they still need help back there?
Yeah, but Laporte will come back. They're still trying to sign another centre-back, whether that's Jules Koundé from Sevilla, who's a fantastic talent, still very young, but a fantastic talent, whether that's Koulibaly.
Okay, because they're very so can you help us with this? Because they're very different profiles. Koundé is very young, very inexperienced. I don't know, maybe I don't know that he has the personality or the tactical intelligence that Koulibaly has yet, because he's very young.
He's 9 years younger.
What do you go young? Do you go old? If you're Pep, you would think you might go for something a little more, you know, you want to win now, right?
Yeah. I think if you're Pep, you go for Koulibaly. If you're the club, maybe you go for Koundé because Koulibaly is 29. He's got only a few years really ahead of him, maybe 3 or 4, which is probably what Pep Guardiola would still be at the club for. So if you're Pep,
provided he extends his contract.
Yeah, provided, which you know, probably will. It's more likely. And that works better. But you also know it's a very, very complicated deal to do because of Napoli, because of De Laurentiis, because of Ramadani, because of many reasons. So maybe you look into, well, signing Koundé, which I'm sure Pep would be happy because Koundé is also much younger. You could make him in exactly what you want him to do. And I think that could make sense. What I was most impressed with in that game on Monday night and for City going ahead, it's not so much who's going to play at the back or the defensive side of things. It was more the setup that Pep did because, I mean, in a way, maybe we shouldn't be surprised because you didn't think that he was going to sat there through the summer after being beaten by Lyon, being heavily criticised and just not doing anything, right? You knew that in his brain, it would be like, well, what can I do different? And I think we saw a little bit of that already. The formation has changed a little bit. It was far more of a 4-2-3-1 and even at times a 4-2-2-2 from what we saw from City, more than the 4-3-3 that we've been used to.
I mean, look, this isn't just... I get a little bit annoyed when people go too much into formations and stuff. It seems like almost like a form of onanism to go and like, oh, 4-2-3-1. But this is relevant because I think it gave De Bruyne more freedom than he already has, right? In the formation last year, which I always put down as a 4-1-4-1 because I kind of generally thought that's what it was, he always had somebody alongside him, whether it was David Silva or Bernardo Silva, who, you know, was also equally creative and whatever. And here... it's almost like they're saying, okay, you have more freedom, don't worry about it, but you need to produce more. He certainly produced a ton, I thought, in that game, especially in the first half. I mean, it looks as if, you know, he did not look like somebody who was playing in his first game of the season in any way, shape, or form. What I am a little bit still concerned about is the left back position.
Yeah.
That seems to have kind of... it seems like nobody's kind of addressed that.
I know, but you can't buy 6 players this summer. It's not possible. I don't think they can financially do that. So they would have to still keep Mendy and Zinchenko and whoever else can play there.
Cancelo.
Cancelo. I don't know. I think just to go back on the formation, and it's not to go too deep or anything, but if you look at before, it used to be quite clear that he had the wingers that he wanted. Sterling was so much a winger. Sané was a winger. Mahrez is a winger. But Sterling has evolved far much more into a more complete player who can play in that 4-2-2-2 formation, for example. Same with Foden, because Foden is not really a pure winger as you could see it.
But I always thought Foden's future would be in central midfield.
Yeah, of course. He's far more, for me, he's far more. And even if you look at Ferran Torres, who played a lot on the wing at Valencia, that's where he was formed and everything, but who's so much an intelligent player that you could easily see him being moved into for more central things. So I think that evolution that we're starting to see tactically makes a lot of sense.
I was struck, Jules, by, I mean, I thought, all right, I'm never really going to, we're never going to see Fernandinho in midfield again, right, going around chasing shadows. But we did, by necessity, there was no Gundogan. Going back to this idea of the two in front of the four, I mean, you seem pretty convinced that we're going to continue to see this. Rodri Gundogan, Rodri Fernandinho, Fernandinho Gundogan. It's a very compressed season. It's a lot of games. But I mean, do you have enough cover there to do that, to always have?
But certainly for the tough, tough games, I think like Wolves away, for example, would be. Maybe even Leicester on Saturday would be as well. In other games, you could easily play De Bruyne next to in that double pivot next to Rodri. And, you know, if you have 75% of the ball, that's easy to do.
That's
even
right.
If you have to be careful with the counter-attacking side of the other team, I think that's better. But certainly in games like this, I think Fernandinho... I think he's still so vital for them, even at like 55 years old or something.
I want to check this out, something slightly, slightly broader, which is two guys who we don't talk about as much, or we haven't talked about, because one of them's been injured for a long time, and the other one is Otamendi. I kind of feel that as of right now, you talked about the importance of bringing in a central defender. Otamendi, I'm pretty sure most agree this will be his final season. I think he probably would have moved this summer in other circumstances, in different circumstances. But I still go back to this. You know, you can play Ake on the right, I guess, with Laporte as your two. But is Otamendi then your next option off the bench? Is Otamendi ahead of Stones, I guess, is what I'm driving at.
So in...
Because that is another left-sided defender, right?
Yeah. But what, in the occasion that they can't sign another centre back, they don't do another centre back before.
Like how damaging would that be if they don't do it and Eric Garcia leaves?
I mean, yeah, but they would not let Garcia go if they don't sign a replacement, right? Surely not. So I think, I don't know, Stones, I think I thought Stones did okay on Monday night. I still think he has something to offer.
But is it worrying the fact that Wolves played well in the second half, but they nearly, you know, Podence, I think, had a couple really good chances, whatever.
They could have come back.
You could have dropped points in that game. And you shouldn't, if you're a Guardiola team, you shouldn't drop points when you're 2-0 up.
No,
ever.
That's right. And I think you're right. And I think they are, that's why they're so keen on the centre-back. That's why they're so pushing for it. I think it will happen. They will sign one, and then they let Garcia go probably. And then you have Stones and Otamendi and AK behind Laporte and whoever they sign.
What about Aguero? At what point do we start to get concerned here? Because his contract is slowly winding down. He's been injured forever.
And it's a bad injury at his age as well.
It's not a good injury to have at his age. Like I said, he's older. We don't know what he's going to be like when he comes back. Jesus also was an option on the wing when you need him, as long as Aguero's there. Is this something that maybe they're taking a little lightly? I mean, I know it's always difficult with doctors and injuries and whatever, and you have to trust them, but... Should they have maybe been thinking of a third striker?
But again,
or is the third striker Sterling?
Yeah, maybe, or a false number nine. Yeah, Sterling, and think in the thought as well that you can play like you did against Real Madrid with a false number nine, whether that's Foden, Bernardo Silva, De Bruyne, or whoever. Maybe. I just think that in that rebuild of the squad, which we've been talking for a long time, you can't do it over just one transfer window. It's impossible. Because it's a left back, and it's also a right back, and it's a centre back, and it's a striker, and it's a wide player to replace Sané, for example. And I don't think you can do that.
I think if Cancelo had turned out to be the player, and he may yet do it, that they thought they were getting.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, you know, last summer you could have said, well, they added Cancelo and Rodri. You know, they added two pieces. The year before that, they only added Mahrez. this year we add two pieces, and they've already added two, and maybe they'll add a third. Yeah. I think that's the idea, but the problem is, and I think this is a challenge for everybody, are these guys good enough to make that leap? And can you negotiate, okay, when is it time to show certain people to the door, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So David Silva left his own accord. When you start phasing out Aguero, Fernandinho, Otamendi, you know, these teams change and evolve.
Yeah, of course.
I just wonder, still just the 1 year left, he has not extended his contract. I wonder if that somehow changes the dynamic a little bit about the way this club operates.
Can they win the title with Gabriel Jesus as their starter number nine?
I think so. I think they can because they have so many other things going on. And if Kevin De Bruyne plays the way he did in that first half on Monday, you know, it's tough. I'm not saying they will. Obviously, we got to see how Liverpool bounce back. They're still my favorites. But I'm also assuming, and I could be completely wrong here, that if Aguero doesn't come back and show that he's reliable, you know, if it gets around to you know, early November, and the guy's not back or not playing well, I think they're going to move for a striker in January.
In January,
I think they have to. You know, you're,
yeah, I agree.
You know, you've put all your, you know, you've gone all in. You have to go, and this is a great opportunity, I think, for you. Also, vis-a-vis the Champions League as well. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. Right, enough City. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Now, we mentioned this earlier, but Alvaro Morata has rejoined Juventus. It's one of those loan deals with options to buy. It's a $9 million, quite a lot for the loan deal part, but hey, that gets us into amortized values and all this boring stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to know from you, good outcome for Juve, good signing?
Listen, I like Morata. I've always liked him. I know the numbers are not always the greatest, and he gets a lot of slack from people, I think.
He's not there to score goals.
Exactly, that's the thing. If you want him for the profile that he has to get people, you know, playing in, to help Cristiano be very unselfish in the way he plays, I think this is good. This could be perfect. And he's been there before and he's done really well there before. Forget about what happened at Chelsea.
And his wife is from Turin and, you know.
I think it could work and could work well. But let's see. But I think it did.
And they adored him when he was there last time.
Exactly. Speaking about Juventus, and we've touched upon it a little bit before, but Luis Suarez, what an incredible story, Gab.
Okay, I'm gonna try to recap this because this is out of a movie.
You
wouldn't believe this, right? So Luis Suarez decides that he wants an Italian passport, so he really wants an EU passport.
Yeah.
He's eligible for one because he's married to an Italian citizen. He was also eligible for a Spanish passport too, by the way, but he never bothered to do the paperwork in the million years that he was in Barcelona. He only starts moving later in the summer to go and get his passport. As part of it, they said, all right, no problem, but you have to go and pass an Italian language and culture test. Now, it's an oral examination. It's a 10 to 15 minute conversation. So his representatives, they get directed to a place in Perugia. Unfortunately for him, this place in Perugia, which is affiliated to the university in Perugia, has been under investigation since February.
They were dodgy.
Because they were a little bit dubious, a little bit generous with these tests, and everybody's phones are tapped. And so now he's at the center of an inquiry where the place is under investigation. These wiretaps, these recordings are incredible. They're like, oh, this guy's a complete dunce. He can't say anything in Italian. We better walk him through it. He's accused of not just having been given the questions beforehand, but basically having gone through a run-through the day before with the...
But he knew all of that, right? This is all he knew. Come on. Don't give me like he just went to Perugia not knowing. He went there because he knew it was going to be easy. They're going to basically give him the test and that's it.
Is certainly the accusation against him. I just think this guy's not very smart. He could have done this many years ago. Yeah. The requirement, just get the extra passport. What's it going to cost you? You could have gotten a Spanish one. Until 2 years ago, there was no language test. You wouldn't have to worry about all this stuff. Now, obviously, he was linked to Juventus for a long time. Juventus distancing themselves from it. They are not currently being officially investigated, although the deliciousness in this is the guy who's running the investigation, he's a colonel in the Italian police. You know what his name is?
No.
Sarri. Worse. His name is actually Selvaggio Sarri, which means Savage Sarri. I mean, this is like out of a novel.
But you know what I would have loved? I would have loved Suarez to get his passport, pass the exam, then do sign for Juventus, do his press conference, and then being made a fool because he could not speak Italian at all. And people would say, like, hang on, I thought you passed the test.
People would have figured it out. I mean, look, it's serious. Crazy. Because it's a serious situation. Juve said that, well, we stopped being interested in him because we couldn't have signed him after October 5th or whatever. It's not going to be an issue for him in Madrid because in Spain there's different rules. Yeah. And as long as you're married to an EU citizen, you're fine. Yeah. But man, this is freaking embarrassing.
Crazy.
Now, your boy Patrice Evra took to Instagram and absolutely destroyed a man named Matt Judge, who works for Manchester United. Jules, what do you make of this? And for those who don't know, who is Matt Judge?
Matt Judge is United's chief negotiator, if you want, for contract, player contract, transfers.
Is he the Hus Fahmy of Manchester United?
He's Edwards' right-hand man, and he used to work in finance a lot, in investment for many, many years. That was brought into the club. I don't think he knows much about football. So he doesn't know much about transfers. Okay.
But I've is it fair to have a go at this guy the way Evra did?
Well,
is he just a cog in the big machine?
He did in his video with a story, if it's true, and knowing Patrice, he would not have made it up. But I was not told the story, but that a big sporting director of a big club actually called Patrice Evra to say, can you tell Matt Judge to pick up the phone when I call, please? Which is an absolute disgrace if it's a true story. Again, it's bad publicity.
Matt Judge can ghost whoever he wants.
I know,
but
it's bad publicity for the club. It's that frustration from the fans that we were talking before, and it's just not good. Just not working. After playing him wide and as a false number nine, Frank Lampard finally moved Kai Havertz to a sort of number 10 position behind the striker. Like if he'd listened to us on Monday and the show, that's exactly what we said. And guess what? He scores a hat-trick. Is it really only that simple, Gab?
No, I don't know that it's quite that simple because, you know, this was Barnsley. Obviously, you look at it on paper and you think, oh, that could be his natural position.
Well, it is. We said it is.
But you need the right pieces around him as well in terms of the wingers. And that brings you on to something else that Lampard said. You know, he indicated that both Rudiger and Callum Hudson-Odoi, it's not guaranteed that they're going to stay at this club. This I understand a little bit less because you cast your mind back, 18 months ago. It looked, you know, Bayern were offering 40 million for Callum Hudson-Odoi and whatever. I know he's had a bad injury. Personally, I think if you play him at 10, he's going to perform better when he's got fast wingers who get forward either side of him. Like maybe Pulisic and Hudson-Odoi, like, you know, what he had with Bailey at Leverkusen. It seems odd to me. The Rudiger thing, I don't understand at all. Because
do you think he's Chelsea's best centre-back? Top two centre-backs?
I think, yeah, top two, yeah, definitely. I mean,
so
when you factor
him and Thiago Silva.
Yeah, and then the other thing, I'll just say this about Rudiger. If he does leave, remember all those stories that said, oh, Rudiger convinced Kai Havertz to join
and
him.
And Werner.
Well, wouldn't that be ironic? Jules, the investigation into events during Paris Saint-Germain's defeat to Marseille isn't over, but for now we've seen Angel Di Maria hit with a four-match ban for spitting, which of course is the ultimate cardinal sin among footballers. Does that sound fair to you? And there's more to come, isn't there?
There's more to come with the Neymar and Alvaro investigation, and we will know about that next Wednesday, so we can talk about it next week. For Di Maria, the maximum he could have got was 6 games. I thought it was a disgrace that they reduced it to 4. Really do. They took in consideration that Di Maria is usually a good guy. I don't care, he's bad. They took in consideration that Alvaro provoked him and Neymar and all the PhD team. I don't care. Even if you provoked, you cannot speak. You cannot speak. And even less in this pandemic with this virus, and even less when you tested positive yourself, like Di Maria, few days before that game. It's a disgrace. It should have, in my opinion, have even more than 6 games.
Once again, you show your anti-PSG
bias. No, but it's not about that. You have to be objective at times.
You're perfectly right.
Roma will have to forfeit the point that they gained against Hellas Verona at the weekend. Gab, in a very strange and unusual circumstances, and quite ridiculous, to be fair, for a club, a professional club.
Okay, so Roma screwed up. But I want to make this very clear. There's justice and there's the law. And they're two different things. Roma are being they've had to forfeit the game because, as in most countries, there's categories for under 23 players in this case, and over 23 players, and who you can have in your season long squad. Diawara turned 23, so he should have been written into the over 23 squad, not the under 23 squad. He was in the under 23 squad last year. They didn't update it. They screwed up. Okay, that's fine. They screwed up. Fine them. But they gained no material advantage because they had lots of slots in the over 23s.
It's the rule. It doesn't matter.
But you forfeit a game because of it.
But yeah, he played.
This is. They didn't get. He could have played anyway.
It doesn't matter. He played the game. And they messed
whatever,
up the
man.
Registration.
Whatever. I hate bureaucrats, and you know my feelings on lawyers. I absolutely hate this. Frank de Boer is going to be the new Dutch manager. Good choice, Jules?
No.
That's all. Sorry, Aranya fans.
He's just not a good manager. That's all.
Hop Holland.
Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the PSG president, my president, in many respects, is in big trouble, though, Gab. He could face 28 months in prison if a Swiss prosecutor has his way. Should I be worried? And what's the whole story about?
Well, basically, he's not just PSG president. He's also the big boss of beIN Sport.
That's right.
And also UEFA executive committee member. beIN Sport acquired World Cup rights from FIFA. This is many years ago when Jérôme Valcke was general secretary. He stands accused of essentially paying a bribe, letting Jérôme Valcke holiday in his fancy villa, or a villa he has access to, in Sardinia. This case has been going on for a while. 28 months is a long time. I don't expect he's ever gonna spend a single day in prison. But I'll tell you what, it's not a good look for beIN Sport and PSG.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good look for us at all.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
As the infection rate rises here in England, we've had managers like David Moyes testing positive, being sent home from a League Cup game just an hour before kickoff. We have the government delaying the return of supporters into stadiums. There are going to be pilot programs as of October 1st in football. And clubs in the lower divisions have been hit really hard. Also, I saw today a new report out there saying that the coronavirus has had an impact on player trading. So there's like a net loss of revenue or net loss of cash inflow of around 500 million. Now, it might be kind of voodoo economics, and the market's still open.
Yeah, of course, it's got an impact.
We both live in London. There's a weird vibe going on right now.
Yeah, there's such a negative dynamic around everything, not just football, but especially football, and we talk about that now. It's really roaring because, as you said, some clubs, especially in the lower league, are struggling, really struggling financially. Having fans coming back, even a small number, would have helped financially.
That's how they make most of their money, is obviously fans through the door.
It's not TV rights for them in lower leagues. That's not going to happen. They were hoping for the first weekend of October to have some sort of fans back in. That's going to be delayed, I think, quite significantly. And it's just not good. I think clubs are now looking for help from the government. Maybe they talked about $1 billion, $1.5 billion sort of package to help the clubs, and that they could have some money coming in, because right now it's very, very difficult.
Well, it's funny because Sean Dyche, I mean, I forwarded this on social media, and he might have been taken slightly out of context, but he made the point like, oh, I don't understand why more successful clubs, i.e. Premier League clubs, you know, are being pressured to help to help less successful ones, i.e. smaller ones, because frankly that doesn't happen in other industries. And kind of weird, he uses hedge funds. Like, it's not like successful hedge funds go and bail out less successful hedge funds. Now, I have my own views on this, and football is obviously is completely different. The clubs are interdependent on each other in a way that hedge funds obviously aren't. Plus, by the way, it's a bit rich. You're the manager of Burnley. Basically, you're bankrolled and subsidized by Manchester United and Liverpool and Arsenal, who decide to share their money with you with a TV deal. So I don't know you want to go there, Sean.
No, it's not.
But it is, I think it is telling. I do think there is a point that maybe there are simply too many professional clubs in England. Like, you can still have the community sense and whatever with a semi-pro or an amateur club. And maybe there is a restructuring in the works.
Yeah, maybe. That's a good idea. Talking about Sean Dyche and Burnley, they're about or close to be taken over by an American businessman, which would mean 75% of the clubs in the Premier League gap are foreign-owned. What's the latest on Burnley? And is this worrying as well, to have so much foreign ownership?
I don't think it's worrying. I think it just reflects the Premier League. It reflects England more broadly.
English businessmen could also invest in football, right?
Well, and they did. And then apparently they're selling to this guy. I mean, look, we live in a globalized economy.
Yeah.
And I think England's generally been far more pro foreign investment, as you know, than most other European leagues. This guy who's buying them is a guy named Pace.
Alan
Pace, that's right. He's lived in London, according to his LinkedIn page. He's lived in London since October 2019. So he does have some roots here.
Yeah.
And he's a former president of Real Salt Lake, although that was many, many years ago. It's funny because when you look in the local paper and he's described as like, you know, financial guru, tech giant. I don't know.
It's what we said, you know, it's what we've said many times before. If people come in with good intention, that's fine. Wherever their money comes from.
I will say this, the people who own the club now, and in particular Mike Garlick, who I think is really good, might be the minority owner, he is one of the best, most sensible executives out there. I hope he sticks around even if the club is sold. Spurs play a Europa League qualifier in Macedonia, and yes, Dele Alli will be there. Jules, he may even stick around after the window closes, based on what Mourinho says, unless he changes his mind, of course. Yeah. This makes sense, right? And what about their search for a striker? Would Milik be a good option?
I'm all in for Milik, I have to be honest. I think that would be perfect, what Spurs need, different profile to Harry Kane, to Heung-Min Son. That would work really well, to Gareth Bale, of course. That would work really well. And also, there's potentially a good deal to be done then financially, too. So that works. And for Dele Alli, Mourinho said he expects him to stay and want to bring him back to his best. He said he's been so inconsistent, which is a fair reflection.
You never bought that PSG nonsense?
No, and that was never true anyway. I don't know where that came from, but I don't know who would take on Dele Alli right now anyway, after the last 18 months he had. So probably the easiest way for Spurs as well was keeping him, trying to build his confidence back up.
Get him back to where he was.
Exactly. On Monday, you said that Leipzig still had plenty of goals in them this season, despite losing Patrick Schick and Timo Werner. Well, they clearly felt different, Gab, because they've signed a striker, Alexander Sorloth.
Yeah, and obviously they tried to sign him before, and then there were some medical issues.
The Sorloth from Crystal Palace, right? Who?
Like, this is a weird one, okay? Obviously, you look at his profile as a striker, and you know he's certainly not Timo Werner, and certainly not Patrick Schick.
No,
very different sort of player. But he had a really successful season last year at Trabzonspor
in Turkey. Yeah.
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 Okay.
I'm just checking that Trabzonspor was in Turkey. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I'm going to get Turkish Twitter on your rear end if
I love Turkish football. My boy Gary Clichy, you know, won the league.
Stop it. But I do get a sense that to some degree, they don't necessarily need a super quality striker. They just need somebody who will finish. And because they create so many chances, and hopefully Danny Olmo, Forsberg will hopefully play a big role this year. They'll spread it more on the side.
Yeah, no, I get you. And I trust them. They've been so good with the recruitment. I was kidding about Sorloth and all of that. But isn't it too much the same profile as Poulsen, though? Wouldn't you have gone for someone very different to Poulsen? Do you see what I mean? That's why I'm a bit struggling to get the logic behind Sorloth.
I think I think Poulsen's been around a long time.
Yeah, and maybe fair.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if it becomes more of something with one guy up, like one or the other, and then maybe Nkunku and Olmo behind, Sabitzer running in. I mean, they do have other options. But yeah, there is a. I just love Sorloth. Doesn't Sorloth sound like some strange animal? Like, you know, ooh, at the Leipzig Zoo, we have the only living Sorloth in
Kansas. Or like a James Bond, you know, like a bad guy in James Bond.
A James Bond villain?
Yeah, I know. Villain, yeah.
Now, Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored two goals in his season debut for Milan on Monday in the 2-0 win over Bologna. Now, afterwards, Zlatan said, you know, if I was 20 instead of 38, I would have had four goals, not just two. You're not going to contradict him, are you, Jules?
No, and I thought he played so well in that game, and he could, in fairness, he could have had four if he'd been a bit more clinical. Don't look at me like this. You know, I should remind everyone that I was the one saying, I think Milan should keep him. I think he's going to be good for them on the field, off the field. And Gab was the one saying, like, come on, dude. You know, he's going to be 39 soon, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
So a couple of things about that. One of the funny things is, when he was actually talking about this, he got his own age wrong at first. He corrected himself. I was like, well, I'm 39. Well, actually, 38. And then somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, the year Zlatan was 20 and he was playing for Ajax, do you know how many goals he scored that season? Six.
Six. Yeah, I was going to say seven.
So I think what he's really talking about is 20-year-old Zlatan body, but 38-year-old Zlatan head.
I know, but he didn't.
But I think this applies, this is a universal truth, right? This applies to everybody, right? Imagine if 20-year-old Julian knew what 40-something Julian knows, you know?
No, true. But what I love is he tweeted a photo of himself looking really sharp and fit and saying Benjamin Button, which, you know, that's it. Over in Saudi Arabia, Al Hilal have had to forfeit the Asian Champions League match because of a rash of COVID-19 positive tests. 13 players they had in their squad. They just didn't have enough players to play to play that game in the Champions League. Gab, is this a sign of things to come, do you think?
I hope not.
That's crazy.
The one concern, by the way, the reason it was 13, including two goalkeepers.
Yeah.
You have to have a minimum of 14 players. I mean, that's what they decided. And by the way, that is the rule that they applied in the Premier League as well this season, right? I personally kind of have a real problem with this. I don't think, you know, I mean, maybe this match couldn't have been postponed because of scheduling or whatever. But I don't think
it's an issue with forfeiting. Is that
no,
what
no, no? Frankly, but I just I don't have I have an issue with saying if you can't have 14 players, you can't play. I think it should be higher. I think it should be 16 players, or maybe even more, because ultimately we're still producing a product. There are other solutions later. Just furiously cranking these games out.
I know, but you don't.
Imagine what
this is not friendly. This is a Champions League.
No,
this is a Champions League game. You don't want one of your strongest team as well to go and field their under 18 because in the first team they don't have enough players. Do you see what I mean?
It's so you not, just got them to forfeit the game.
Well, that's why I think forfeit was the wrong idea. It should have been postponed somewhere. Like, it'd be interesting to see what happened with the Leyton Orient Spurs game in the League Cup as well, because do you postpone that? Do Leyton Orient forfeit it? You know, what are you going to do? It's a similar...
I worry when this issue becomes an issue in the Premier League, because remember one other thing. If you don't have a contingency plan to take this into account, if you just keep cranking these games out, you know, if you have 14 players or even 15 or 16 players, you know, if you have a couple kids on the bench, you're going to be able to substitute less. It's more wear and tear on the players, more injuries. I don't know. I just hope that this is not an issue and that people out there are sensible. And I don't want to be negative about this, but I hope that people realize that we cannot take risks like this. Jules, regular listeners know that you are basically Welsh.
Mrs. L is Welsh.
Wrexham are on the verge of being taken over, and you must be a huge fan of the two potential new owners.
Yes, Ryan Reynolds, the actor, the Hollywood actor, and Rob McElhenney. Is that how you pronounce his name?
The man from All We, the genius. Yeah. I like Deadpool and all, but come on, Always Sunny.
Ryan Reynolds for me is Detective Pikachu. I'm sorry. Sorry, Ryan, but you know, I've got three children. Pikachu, okay. For me, you're cinema Pikachu. Good if they come for the good reason. It's always, I don't know why they want to buy Wrexham.
Do you think I'm hoping this is not some big publicity stuff.
I really hope not. And I hope that if they do come, then this is to do a lot of good to the area, the community, the club. You know, it's an area that needs a really good football team with people who care about the club, about the community. So I hope that Rob and Ryan are those kind of people.
I'm disappointed you're not.
No, I'm kidding. I'm super kidding. Let's wait and see. We've been there before.
Hey,
we
are there.
Well, finally, Gab, Kazumura has signed a new deal. I mean, how old is he? 100 years old? Well, this is amazing, right?
He's 53 years old, and it's funny because they always issue this release, like, ooh, he has set a new record. He keeps breaking his, he's like, breaking like,
his own record.
Guy Bubka. No, but I love Kazumura. It's crazy. It feels like,
alleged.
It feels like I was a child when he signed for Genoa.
Well,
he was
were.
Old then, yes. Yeah, that gives you a sense. Absolutely, Kazu.
We love you.
Gambatte. That's all I can say. All right, that brings us to an end on this Thursday. I enjoyed it so much.
Me too.
I'm going to be back on Monday.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Taco Tuesday over salad? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjewels, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjewels now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/gabjewels.